Sunday Surefire Podcast. I'm your host, the Commish. Joining me today is the co-host, Ethan Weaver.
Commish, how we doing?
We are doing pretty well, my man. We're doing pretty well. The NFL draft is T-minus 9 days away from kicking off. The offseason is really here, and it's getting into full swing. Things are getting real if you're playing in Dynasty. Really important this time of year that you're going through those last second motions of making sure you have your pre-draft picture set to go for all these rookies in the 2024 class at every position. Last week we checked off some running backs, which is a really fun exercise. And this week we're kicking it over to wide receiver. It's highly touted as one of the best wide receiver classes in recent memory. So we're definitely going to make sure we take the time to tell you about the important players in this year's group. But what I'll say about the wide receivers is there's been a ton of talk about the top three guys in this class. Those guys being, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze. We can say nothing but good things about those in our own right on this show, and we have in recent episodes as well. So we're not going to spend any time talking about those guys tonight. But just know that we both have them as the top three wideouts in this class. And you know, if you're able to walk out of your rookie drafts with any one of these players, you should be very, very happy about it. But there's some other talented guys that haven't gotten quite as much love as those other players have throughout the process. So that's what we're going to be focusing on this program, is the receivers after the top three. So that's what we're going to be spending the time on. We'll tell you guys where these players went to school, some of their physical attributes, so heights, weights, and you know, how they did at the combine, if they participated. We'll give you their age. Just know that any age that we give you is a reflection of what they will be at the conclusion of their rookie season. So any age they turn during the fantasy season, the age that they'll be at that point, which is how you should be valuing age in your dynasty leagues. And we'll also kind of touch on some of their strengths and weaknesses as players at the college level and what their stats were and how Pro Football Focus, or PFF for short, graded those players out along the way. So that's what we have here. We got a fun episode of the receivers beyond the top three. So, Ethan, without further ado, let's jump right in and get it started with Brian Thomas Jr.
Yes, Brian Thomas Jr. I just want to say I can't wait for the NFL draft next week. It's one of the best weekends of the year for a dynasty manager. It's something we all look forward to. You put in all this work, going over all these rookies. I mean, you go through the process. And at the end of the day, the NFL draft is the biggest piece because obviously good draft capital equals opportunity, and opportunity is what we're looking for. So I think Brian Thomas is going to get a lot of opportunity in the NFL, as I think he's a locked and loaded first round pick in the NFL draft. He's 22 years old for this 2024 fantasy football season. He's 6'2", 209 pounds, and he has a beautiful PFF rank of 168 with a grade of 74.2. So a little low for Brian Thomas, but Steve Smith compared him to my guy, Brandon Ayuk. So now he's got to be my 101, obviously. But I know the Brandon Ayuk comp to you, Commissioner, is a little off probably, but I do think Brian Thomas isn't just a straight line speed guy. I think he does have a little more nuance to his route running. I think he's just a very smooth runner. He's one of these guys that is just, I mean, he can fly. He ran a 4.33 40, but he just looks so smooth out there, and he can make plays. He has a knack for the end zone, scoring 17 touchdowns, which led FBS this year. So he clearly has a knack for the end zone, and he's very, very good at tracking the ball. Obviously with that speed of 4.33 and great ball tracking ability, that can lead to 17 touchdowns in college. So I think Brian Thomas has immense upside. He had a vertical jump of also 38.5 inches, 10'6" broad. So he's fast and explosive, and he has very, very good size. This year he played 13 games. He had 68 catches for 1,177 yards, and as I said, 17 touchdowns. But Brian Thomas is a guy I think, like I said, is going to go in the first round. Chad Reuter has him mocked pick 18 to the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know how accurate that is anymore now that it looks like T. Higgins is going to stay. But Brian Thomas, I think, is going to come in and have a chance to be a team's number one wide receiver, hopefully sooner than later for anyone who drafts him in rookie drafts. But His connection with Jaden Daniels this year was very impressive with all those touchdowns. And I'm very excited to draft Brian Thomas in my rookie drafts, and hopefully he can go to a land spot like the Buffalo Bills in the first round, who is a team that's begging for a receiver to take over as the bona fide number one. So that's my spiel on Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, obviously you're really high on Thomas, and you're definitely not alone in the industry. He's kind of settling in, I'd say, across the community as the WR4 in the pre-draft process. I wouldn't have him quite that high personally, but I know there are a lot of smart people that are in on Brian Thomas, so I'm not going to come on here and just bash you for having that opinion and being high on him. I think that I do agree with you that his upside is immense, and I think if he lands in a place like Cincinnati where he doesn't have the pressure of being a number one wide receiver, I think that's actually better for him in the long run. I'm skeptical on him being a top wideout at the next level. So him getting in a spot with Joe Burrow, getting to be the number two behind Ja'Marr Chase, and with T. Higgins likely out the door in that scenario via trade, or at least just hanging around for maybe 1 year where the three of those receivers are together, I would like Brian Thomas Jr. a lot more for fantasy purposes, believe it or not, in that type of scenario versus him kind of going to maybe a bad team with a so-so quarterback situation and having to kind of take on this massive workload when he showed in his first 2 years in college, he was barely productive and he wasn't even producing until he was the number two wideout, catching passes from a player that's going to be taken in the top five of the NFL at quarterback. So overall, there is immense upside here. I do definitely agree on that. I'm not going to deny it. But we'll see. We'll see how he pans out. He'll definitely be off the board in round number one of the NFL draft. But let's go to the next player on our list here. We're gonna go to the speed demon himself. Unless you've been living under a rock, you have to know that Xavier Worthy broke the NFL combine record at the 40-yard dash. He comes in at 5'11", 165, PFF grade of 68.9. Which was incredibly low. If you thought Brian Thomas Jr. had a low PFF grade, you haven't checked out Xavier Worthy's, as he finished 341st among wide receivers in college last season. He'll be age 24 at the conclusion of his rookie season. Played 3 years at the University of Texas, like I mentioned. Obviously, the 4.21 40 is what really sticks out to him. Also added a 41-inch vert and a 10.11 broad. So solid athlete overall for sure, definitely from a speed standpoint. He'll be giving you that in bunches at the next level. And he's also pretty good at tracking the ball. He's gotten better at that as his college career progressed. So definitely can hurt you down the field. Had two seasons of over 900 yards of production while at Texas. 26 total touchdowns in 3 years as well. So definitely had a nose for the end zone for a smaller guy and can definitely blow by defensive backs. You know, he's a player that, whether he pans out for fantasy or not, from a real NFL standpoint, he's going to make a team better just because he has that dangerous speed that you just can't teach. He's going to stretch defenses and open up room in the middle of the field and in the short areas as well, just because he has that attribute that deep defensive backs have to be respectful of. And so definitely he brings that element to the table, the speed all day. Well, like I said at the top here, he's 165 pounds soaking wet, so never going to be the biggest guy in the world. So just that frame, you know, it's definitely going to hurt him in some areas. Obviously, pass blocking, pass and run blocking is going to be one of them. It just doesn't have the frame to do so. And also, if defensive backs are able to stick with him, he could very easily get boxed out on some of those contested catch situations. He's not going to be a guy that takes the lid off the defense. And if the defensive back stays with you, is going to be competing for balls. But that's okay. I mean, the NFL is changing in a lot of ways. I mean, one of my biggest gripes with Tyreek Hill for years is that he wasn't that great in contested catch separations, situations rather, and how's he for fantasy? He's a freaking stud. So I'm coming more around to some of these speed-based guys, just given where the modern game is at, and for a comp for him at the NFL level, at a Darnell Mooney. So those are my thoughts on Worthy, the speed demon out of Texas. Ethan, what do you think on him?
First of all, you mentioned he's a solid athlete. I think the word is insane athlete with those numbers. X Worthy, I think he's much more than just a straight line speed guy. I think he can run a full complement of routes, and I think he's going to be a big piece of NFL offenses and making them very hard to game plan around due to his speed. I mean, when you get a guy out there that can spread the defense out, running a 4.21, that's going to keep DCs up at night trying to stop a guy with that Insane speed. And if he can develop his route running, and if he can become a full fledged receiver in all aspects, I mean, he's going to be an absolute weapon at the next level. The Kansas City Chiefs selected him in at pick 17. So obviously they moved up in Chad Reuter's mock. And obviously if that's the case, people are going to go crazy. A guy with that kind of speed with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't know why they'd move up for X Worthy when they just got Marquise Brown, but obviously Marquise Brown's not, I think it was only a 1 year deal anyways, but obviously that would be very fun for dynasty managers. But I like Xavier Worthy. I like what he brings to the table. He's a guy that I would love to draft in deeper formats where they can start 11, start 12. You put him in your third flex, and you just hope he gets a long touchdown. He's just one of those guys that can score from any point in the field. So, and he's gonna be a first rounder. Just the second he ran that 4-2-1, you could pencil him in the first round. So, we'll find out in 9 days.
Yeah, we sure will find out in the near future here where exactly he lands. It would be a real surprise if he didn't end up in round one. And a lot of these guys every guy we've talked about already is very likely going to end up in round one, and a few more guys probably will as well. We're probably going to have, I think they're going to be pushing double digits at wide receivers going in round one. Maybe we don't quite get to 10, but I think we could get to around 8 or 9. What do you think about that? Is that too maybe being too bullish on the position?
8 or 9 in the first round?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a little bullish. I don't see 8 or 9. That would be pretty insane. But I think it's a lock to have at least 5. I think the over, if I was Vegas, I'd probably put at probably 6.5, 5.5, 6.5. I definitely don't think it's going to be, I mean, that would be insane. I mean, that would definitely be a dynasty manager's dream though.
Oh, it certainly would. And at this time of year, it's good to be optimistic because, eventually some of these guys, once the draft gets going, are going to land in places that we don't love. So now's the time for optimism. Now's the time to get all the all your hopes and dreams nice and high before some of them get come crashing down on draft weekend. But let's keep it going here. We got another Texas wide receiver that you're going to tell us about. And who is that?
That is Donnie Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell. He is wide receiver out of Texas, like you just said. He will be turning, he'll be playing his age 22 fantasy season this year for an NFL team to be determined very soon. And he is 6'2", 205 pounds, a PFF rank of 231 with a grade of 71.9. So a lot of these receivers we're talking about, PFF doesn't seem to like. I really don't know what their grading criteria is, but whatever it is, it's not correlating with these draft scouts. he had 55 catches last season for 845 yards and 11 touchdowns. So obviously the 11 touchdowns is very impressive. He was getting some steam headed into the combine, but I don't think a lot of people projected the insane combine he was going to have. I mean, he ran a 4.3 4.40, a 1.52 10-yard split, which a 39 and a half inch vert and a 10-foot-4 broad. So just obviously an athletic freak. He was clearly one of the risers coming out of the NFL combine. I thought he was very good near the red zone for Texas, obviously with the 11 touchdowns. The kid can make plays. I heard from a couple of different sources that his intensity can fluctuate from game to game. Like he takes plays off. He doesn't seem to be fully invested every play, which, I mean, we'll see if that translates to the NFL. Maybe he's just young and just doesn't have it all together yet. But obviously you like to kind of see those receivers with that fire in them, that dog in them, that hey, they're there to compete and be the best in every single play. But A.D. Mitchell, he definitely set himself up to potentially be a first-round pick. Chad Reuter does not think so, as he actually has him falling to the second round at pick 53 to the Philadelphia Eagles, which would definitely nuke his value. But
that's a big slide.
No, it is. It is. So I feel like, I don't know. I was actually surprised to see that because I've been seeing A.D. Mitchell like in the first round of a ton of mocks, if not the first round, like the top, like, I mean, very few picks into the second. So I was a little surprised by that. But he's a kid that has very good hands. He can catch outside his body very, very well. And I think he can be a very productive player at the next level. Yeah, obviously, like we're probably projecting him to be a first early second round pick. And if he's a guy that falls to the late second, I mean, obviously that's going to affect his affect him in rookie drafts.
Yeah, it definitely would. I guess we won't go too far down the rabbit hole of, you know, if he gets drafted here versus there, what his dynasty value looks like in drafts, because we'll have plenty of time for that following the NFL draft. But just touching on him quickly as a prospect, I saw some of that as well in terms of the intensity not being there, and it kind of went a little bit hand in hand with this comp that I had for him, and that's George Pickens. I'm not sure if you had something similar for a comp, but that's something I see a little bit out of Pickens as well. Someone who can, I mean, obviously Pickens, as we know, can shut it down at times on the sidelines as well. Kind of been in Mike Tomlin's doghouse here and there. So, I mean, lack of effort and intensity at times, or not finishing in the run blocking game at times, can get you in trouble at the NFL level. So, you know, who knows? Maybe if he ends up with one of these old school NFL head coaches, if he ends up butting heads with them, if he doesn't bring his A game from right out of the gate. But who knows? There's a lot of, I think there's a lot of upside with him as well. And he did himself a lot of favors at the combine, like you said. So, guys, any last thoughts on any of that, or Mitchell, before we move on?
No, just no, I think the George Pickens comp was a good one. I think he's a more athletic George Pickens, which obviously a lot of people like hearing that. I'm not a huge George Pickens guy, but I mean, it's kind of hard not to come around on George Pickens a little bit, considering he should be the bona fide number one in Pittsburgh, and he has flashed. So, but no, like I mean, I definitely see the similarities, and I do think it's a good comp.
Yeah, it's more of a stylistic comp too. I agree on the Pickens opportunity for this year, but to this point, I think he's left owners wanting a little bit more on the from the fantasy landscape. So, but we'll see how Mitchell pans out. He's definitely going to be one of those guys that's polarizing to watch. Maybe he ends up slipping into the back end of the round one. Maybe he slips to the middle of round two. So we'll see where that goes. That's a fun prop bet to watch there. Someone's definitely going to make some money one way or the other on picking where he ends up going in the draft. So, but let's keep it rolling here. Let's go to up to or up to the state of Oregon, talk Troy Franklin, 6'2", 176 pounds. PFF graded him an 84.9, which was good for 29th among wide receivers. So we finally get to a wide out on this conversation that the Pro Football Focus folks really liked. He'll be 21 throughout the duration of the 2024 season, so nice young player. Where A.D. Mitchell really helped himself at the combine, some would argue that Franklin did not do himself any big favors when he went to the combine in Indy. You know, the 176 pounds is okay, but he really didn't. He didn't quite get into the 4.3s. He did run a 4.41, so it's not like he was slow or anything
Oh,
like
that's
that.
so slow, dude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, you know how it is nowadays, man. Like, people see, like, if they don't see the 4 and you in the 4.3s, like, done, you're out. Take your 0.02 seconds and get out of here. So, but you know, I'm definitely not willing to go that far. 39-inch vert to 10.4 broad. Did run the 3-cone, did the 6.9 in that. So, you know, obviously, and all in all here, Franklin's a guy that I'm particularly high on this wide receiver group. I think he's a player that, you know, he gives a really strong vertical push. Like, when he gets cornered, to get corners up in a bad spot when he comes in and out of his breaks. He's a player that can go up there and go get the ball when he has to go do it in contested catch situations. And he was a player that Bo Nix really relied on a lot at Oregon. A lot of those quick screen plays, just flipping the ball out there quickly and getting him in his hands and letting him do the work. You know, he could make guys miss in the open field where he has to, and then he has enough speed to take it to the house, as the 4.41 would indicate. Not the perfect prospect though, by any means. You know, could do a little bit better getting off the because of some of those press coverages at the next level. Where corners will get a lot more physical with you than we saw in the Pac-12. And he does need to do a little bit better job of tracking the ball as well. And we saw some focus drop sort of as a result of all that. But all in all here, like I said, I'm high on him. And the NFL comp for him I have is a good one. It's Chris Olave. So those are my thoughts on my boy Troy Franklin. Ethan, what do you think about him?
No, I agree with that. I it's kind of crazy with him coming out of the combine as a big loser. Because if you just look at his overall numbers in general, I mean, they look pretty good. I mean, he was very, very explosive in the jumps, 39-inch and 10'4" in the for the vert and the broad and that 4.41 like you alluded to. But I think people just expected 4.3. But I mean, his 10-yard split was only a 1.61. So he's a guy that clearly takes a little while to get going. Because I mean, damn, if his 10-yard split was a little faster, if he got up and went like a some of the guys we've been talking about with the 1.50 10-yard splits, he would have easily went into the 4.43. So it seems like Franklin's a guy that, like, once he gets up to speed, he's probably one of the faster guys in the class, but it just takes him a little while to get there. Overall, though, I think Troy Franklin did take a huge dip in value. I mean, Troy Franklin was projected. I mean, before the NFL Combine, people were taking him at the 108. I feel like consistently in mock drafts, maybe even higher. And now Troy Franklin in a lot of rookie mocks, you don't even see him in the first round. And the only thing that really changed was the NFL Combine. So he's definitely a guy that was greatly impacted by a quote unquote weaker combine.
That's kind of what I like to hear as someone who's in on Troy Franklin, that he's kind of dipping a little bit. Not so much from, like, obviously first round capital will be great, but that also could create, though, if he slips to round two, is sort of a better buying window for him in rookie drafts. Or if he slips into the second round of your dynasty drafts, I mean, it's just a better area to take a shot on a guy there, so you don't have to quite pay up that first round price tag to go get him. So I don't hate that entirely. But we'll see where Franklin pans out coming up in just 9 days. And let's keep moving to a two-time national champion. And Ethan's going to tell us about Ladd McConkey.
Yeah, Ladd McConkey. He's a guy that doesn't have a ton of college production, but he's definitely a guy that's been rising up boards. Ladd McConkey is 6 foot, 186 pounds, played at the University of Georgia, and PFF surprisingly didn't rank this player. I'm not sure why, but he was not graded out by PFF. As I said, Ladd McConkey wasn't overly productive at Georgia, but he had an okay career. He redshirted in 2020. He was actually freshman. He made the freshman all SEC team. He played in all 15 games. Went 31 catches, 447 yards, 5 touchdowns. In 2022, he was second team all SEC. He tied the team lead with 7 receiving touchdowns. Again, played in all 15 games, 58 catches, 762 yards. He also contributed on the ground with two rushing TDs. And then in 2023, he actually won a lot of awards, kind of for his off the field stuff. He won some community service stuff. He won like the William V. Campbell Trophy, which is the AKA the Academic Heisman. And he went 30 for 478 and 2 receiving touchdowns. And he also went 2 for 38 on the ground with a rushing touchdown. So that's a quick summary of what Ladd did at Georgia, which, like I said, it wasn't overly impressive. But I mean, there were a few things that, I mean, obviously, scouts are gonna like, NFL teams are gonna like. He's a very, very smart guy. An NFL scouting director basically said you can tell just by the way he plays that he watches a ton of film, and he's a guy that can run impeccable routes. He knows where to be in defenses. He knows how to read defenses, and he's very, very hard to keep from getting open just because he's so good, especially out of the slot. So I think Ladd McConkey is going to be a very good receiver for an NFL team. Probably going to be in the slot, and I think it has a chance to potentially be a nice PPR machine. Ladd McConkey was arguably one of the biggest risers coming out of the combine. He ran a 4.39 40, which I don't think many people expected. He had a vert of 36 and a broad jump of 10'4". So a very athletic guy. We were just talking about 10-yard splits. His 10-yard split was almost a full tenth of a second faster than Troy Franklin's, with a 1.52 10-yard split. I just think Ladd McConkey is going to be a good pro. I think he's going to be a security blanket for years to come, for whatever quarterback gets the opportunity to throw him the ball. But I think he's a locked and loaded top 45 pick. I would be shocked if he goes outside the top 45. And I think he's going to be a lock for mid to early second round pick in your dynasty rookie drafts.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up going in that range in the NFL draft as well. You know, ideally, I would have liked to see a little more production from him in 4 years in college. Obviously, that amount wasn't there. I know they had Brock Bowers, who kind of plays sort of like a receiving tight end, which limited some of what Ladd could do in his role. So somewhat explains that. You know, this obviously the combine was huge for him, but I you know, personally, I guess it's the way I look at scouting is. So the combine to me is something I look at as more of like a pass fail. Like, okay, like, yep, you tested well enough where I feel good about it. You know, I don't put a ton of stock into it personally in terms of like just telling me how elite you're going to be at the next level because you look good in spandex at the combine in Indianapolis. Like, that doesn't do a ton for me. I like to see it, but I don't use it as everything. So for when a lot of times when you see these risers up the board because the guy had a good combine, a lot of times you can get burned with that. And I've been in that position myself many a time. You know, I'm the guy who took Denzel Mims over T. Higgins back in the day because I fell in love with his athleticism and how good he did at the combine. So what do I know, I guess. But I guess my thoughts on it are I like guys that are that produce a little bit more at the college level and guys who I guess just bring it out against great competition consistently. But we didn't see a ton of that from Ladd. Obviously, he was there for 4 years, but didn't ever crack 800 yards receiving. But you know, we'll see where he ends up doing in the league. I do think he's going to be a good NFL player, like you mentioned, someone who helps the NFL offense, and maybe he lands in a good spot where he could be a productive fantasy asset as well. You know, if I got to spend a late first or a early second in superflex drafts on him, I'll probably pass and let someone else take that shot on him. But all in all, I think he's very very much going to be on the draft radar coming up here as rookie season gets into full swing. And with that, we're going to go to another high profile player coming out of Florida State University. That's one Keon Coleman, younger prospect in this case, age 20. And he comes in at 6'3", 213 pounds. PFF graded him 70.3, which is not very good. Comes in at 287th among wideouts. So another guy here on this list that the Pro Football Focus crowd was not overly in on. He transferred schools, started out at Michigan State 2 years in the Big Ten, and then finished out at FSU. Finished his final season in college with 50 receptions for 658 yards and 11 scores. Went to the combine, and people had big hopes for him. Ended up running a 4.61, and I know the 40. Like I said, the combine is not everything, and particularly the 40-yard dash when it comes to receivers can be a little bit misleading, not necessarily the best indicator of future production, but 4.61 was definitely not what you wanted, even for a guy plus 210. 38-inch vert as well. Certainly not great. But you know, overall here, he does have that prototypical size that you look for. Like you said, 6'3", 213. And, you know, he's definitely a jump ball guy. He goes up there and gets at high points of the football. And that's all over his tape, too. Like, he's just boxing out college DBs, just getting up there, meeting the ball at the highest level, just essentially up there getting a rebound. So that's a good skill to have in your tool set, particularly for fantasy where I know touchdowns can be volatile, but if you're that guy going up there and catching those touchdowns in the red zone, he at least will be a guy that you can throw in there and say, hey, maybe he catches a touchdown today. And if the team you think is going to be in the red zone a bunch, maybe you feel confident rolling him out. But obviously, like I said, the athleticism didn't come in super great, and I was on the field too. You know, I do have my big concerns about separation. I mean, he really didn't do much of it in his film, and you know, one of the lower ranked separators in this class. So, you know, it's really hard to just get through your NFL career just bodying people up all the time. You do have to, at least to some extent, be a capable guy in terms of winning your route against an NFL corner with some level of consistency if you're going to be fantasy viable. And I think he's also leaves something to be desired as a run blocker for a bigger guy, but he does have the tools to kind of correct some of that with some better positioning, better coaching, and has the tenacity to do it if he sets his mind to it. All in all, you probably could kind of catch where I was coming from with my take on him here, but I'm not overly in on him here. My Jonathan, my comp for him is Jonathan Mingo. I mentioned it on the pod, I think about a month or so ago. I'm sticking with it here. Coleman's actually a little bit slower than Mingo, but I think they're close enough, their height, weights, some of their athletic testing, and then minimal production at the college level from a yardage standpoint throughout their careers. That's what I got on our guy Keon Coleman. I'm pretty confident you're somewhat on the same page with him here with this guy, are you not?
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I mean, this is a guy that obviously going into the combine, people were projecting him to be a first round draft pick. Everybody was excited for Keon Coleman. Everybody was like, oh, he's gonna absolutely blow up the combine. And I mean, he did a pretty good job in everything except for the 40-yard dash. Obviously, like you alluded to, the 4.61, but he's obviously a good athlete. I mean, I didn't realize this, but he did play a little basketball when he was at Michigan State. Not very much, but I mean, obviously he's was athletic enough to play basketball at Michigan State, and then obviously he transitioned over to football. But I mean, I think for him, I mean, I obviously everybody made a big thing about his gauntlet. He had the fastest gauntlet time. He looked smooth. And sometimes I think when you put too much emphasis on the combine and the numbers, it's essentially like track drills out there instead of like actually watching them play football. I mean, I think that can sometimes burn you a little bit. I mean, Keon Coleman, he like I said, he looked very smooth in those drills. Unfortunately, he did have a slow 40 time, but I don't think it's going to kill him. Because just looking at other players, like we mentioned Troy Franklin, because now Troy Franklin, I mean, he didn't run as fast as we thought, but you look at his, go look it back at his gauntlet drill compared to Keon Coleman. It's like night and day. I mean, Coleman was fast, smooth, and on the line, and Troy Franklin, it looked like he was a drunk driver out there. He was all over the place. So we'll see what we'll see. I think Keon Coleman is one of these players that, I mean, so much of his value rides on next Thursday and Friday. I don't think he's gonna be a first round pick, but hopefully he can be a second round pick. Right now, Chad Reuter has him at pick 93. To the Baltimore Ravens. So obviously he fell down to round three there, which obviously would not be ideal for his dynasty stock.
No, certainly would not. We were looking for obviously round one. We're looking for top half of round two, ideally, and worst case, second round picks. Third round guys, they might show up like later in the third rounds of your rookie drafts, the guys you're taking shots on, but yeah, that would be pretty damaging to his dynasty draft stock if he did fall out of the top two rounds of the NFL draft. But let's go to, we've talked about guys in a bunch of different high profile conferences. Let's go to kind of a smaller school guy out of Western Kentucky. Who are you talking about out of that small conference?
And before I get to Malachi Corley, I just want to kind of bring us up to speed. I forgot to mention some of the players we just discussed in terms of Chad Reuter's mock. Like I mentioned, Ladd McConkey. I thought, I thought he was a lock top 45 pick. Chad Reuter agrees with me. They have him going pick 38 to the Tennessee Titans. And then Troy Franklin, round three, pick 67 to the Commanders. So obviously round three for Troy Franklin and Keon Coleman, not ideal. Hopefully those guys will be second round picks, but time will tell. Now back to Malachi Corley, AKA the Yak King. This guy, he's fun to watch on tape. He's 5'11", 215 pounds. PFF, finally, a guy that someone that PFF likes. He was ranked 33rd with a grade of 82.6. He'll be 22 this year, and he's projected to be a second, third round pick. I think he's gonna go in round two. A guy that's 5'11", 215, that can run like him as a receiver, has that, I mean, yards after catch ability. He led the nation with 9.2. Yards after catch per reception, which is, I mean, almost 10 yards. That's just ridiculous. He didn't perform at the combine, but from what I was able to gather, he ran around a 4.47 40. And the only thing, it seems like the only two things he did was the 40 and the bench, and he benched 225 27 times. So just a strong just a strong receiver. I mean, 27 times, that's a lot of reps at 225, under 4.5 40. I mean, that's probably at NFL combine 40 of over 4.5, but I mean, still relatively good. And at 215 pounds, a guy with the contact balance that he has, just the vision in the open field to make plays. I mean, this guy, there's a reason why, like, my player comp and a lot of people's player comp is Deebo Samuel. He's just a very, very strong runner with the ball, and he can make plays. In 2023, he was first team all conference USA. He led the team with 79 catches, 894 receiving yards. He also led conference USA with 11 receiving touchdowns. And actually set the school record with 259 career receptions. So, which I thought, I also thought a cool bit of information too was 30 NFL teams attended the Western Kentucky's Pro Day, which probably doesn't happen very often. So this is a guy I think NFL teams are in on. I do think he's going to be a second round pick, and I feel like he's a guy that Kyle Shanahan would absolutely fall in love with. I mean, obviously fits that Deebo mold. He's a guy that isn't afraid to get dirty. What he can do with the ball in his hands is very impressive. So Malachi Corley is definitely a guy that I'm becoming more and more impressed with. Chad Reuter has Malachi Corley being drafted pick 84. So again, round three to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we all know the Pittsburgh Steelers know what they're doing when it comes to receivers. So I think that would be a pretty sweet landing spot considering the lack of competition on that roster right now. I mean, obviously we talked about George Pickens, but other than Pickens, I mean, there's a lot of open targets available now that Deontay Johnson's gone. So he's definitely a guy that I'm very excited to see where he goes to the NFL draft, because I think he could be skyrocketing up rookie drafts pretty soon here.
Yeah, he's a fun one to look at because he's really just not that known of a commodity. You know, it's not like Western Kentucky games are just on TV regularly. So he's someone that was fun to scout from that standpoint, whereas most of these guys, you can check in on them throughout the season. Maybe you catch a game or you're watching them live, whereas Corley was really a wild card that the NFL was excited about and also that we kind of got to take a look at diving into this process and certainly before. So I would love to see him get round two capital, but I think he's definitely going to be off the board by the end of round three. And in a good spot, he's going to be someone that you're going to be taking a shot at, and I think somewhere in the second round of your rookie drafts. And love the Deebo comp as well. It just reeks of that type of player. He also took 16 rush attempts for 92 yards in college. And we see Deebo get a lot of those manufactured touches, and it's been really good for fantasy. So landing spot and capital are huge for Corley, and I can't wait to see where he ends up. But let's go back to the SEC of a high-powered conference. We're going to South Carolina, talking about Xavier Leggett, 6'1", 221 pounds. PFF graded him an 82.5, good for 35th among wide receivers. He will be age 23 at the conclusion of the 2024 season. Spent 5 years at South Carolina. Really did not do much at all until his senior season, where he posted 71 for 1,255 yards and 7 scores. Also added a handful of rush attempts as well. You know, he's one of the guys who came into the combine and did really well. He ran a 4.39 40. 40-inch vertical, 10.6 on the broad jump, and his 10-yard split was 1.54. He's a guy who at 6'1", has a little bit of size to him and really just makes the most of the size that he does have. You know, he's really good at fighting in those one-on-one battles and kind of just doing everything he can to create space in those opportunities. Good with his hands too, which is important, where, because you know, you can't just rely on your speed or your quickness or your feet all the time at the NFL level to get open. At some point, you have to be able to just get in there and slug it out, and he's capable of doing that at the next level. Another thing on him, though, you know, he can win those contested catches, but sometimes the release isn't always there. So he has the hands to make up for it, but he does have to do a little bit better job of kind of just getting into his route than he was showed at the college level. Obviously, he was in college for a long time as well, and it's okay to be weary of those guys that have those late breakout ages, where that's definitely the case here. And, you know, obviously he became Spencer Rattler's favorite target in his final season at South Carolina, but you definitely want to see guys produce before they get to their, you know, age 22 college season. And we did not get that with him. And I actually, for an NFL comp, I actually had another one here. He's kind of a lighter version of Deebo Samuel. Not quite Corley. Corley, I think, fits Deebo perfectly, but he's another player that I saw him kind of not necessarily be the best route running tactician, but someone good with the ball in his hands and capable of bullying people around here at the next level. So Leggett kind of came onto the scene late here in his college career, but what do you think about him, Ethan?
Yeah, not much more to add. I mean, Xavier Leggett, big-bodied guy, who, like you said, came on late. I do think he's a guy that's going to get relatively decent draft capital, and a guy with his size and athleticism, I think can turn into hopefully a productive NFL receiver. But Xavier Leggett, he's definitely a guy that I feel like I don't hear people talking about him too much, but he's definitely one of these guys that's going to be, like I just said, very well in the mix to be a second round pick. And Chad Reuter agrees with me. Pick 45 to the Saints, Xavier Leggett was drafted in Chad Reuter's 5-round mock. So obviously that would be great for us. Another second round receiver with that kind of profile, that kind of size. So that would be that would be good news for Xavier Leggett value.
Yeah, it certainly would. And you know, we'll see it. We'll see where he pans out. Another guy is sort of up in the air of where he's going to land over the draft. So we'll definitely be monitoring that. But I know you want to take it home here. You got one more guy to talk about, and then I'll close it out here. So we're sticking in the SEC. Who are you bringing up next?
I'm going to bring up Ricky Pearsall, wide receiver out of Florida. He's 6'1", 189 pounds. PFF ranked him number 95 with a grade of 77.2. He is on the older side. He's going to be 24 this year. But talk about risers after the conclusion of the college football season. And I mean, Ricky Pearsall kind of fits that bill. He dominated the NFL combine. He ran a 4.41, 42-inch vert, 10'9" broad, 6.6 4 three cone, 4.05 20-yard shuttle. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. And that explosion and change of direction, you can see that in the way he runs his routes. He's very twitchy, can get in and out of breaks. He's just a guy that knows where to be. I think he's another one of these guys that can be a quarterback's best friend. Just another smart player, like I said, who knows where to be and can get open quick. He played his first 3 years at Arizona State and then his last two at Florida. In 2022 and 2023, he led the team with in receptions and receiving yards. So in 2023, he had 65 receptions for 965 yards, started all 12 games. In 2022, he had 661 receiving yards on 33 receptions. So a guy that was relatively productive the last 2 years. Obviously, I mean, at that age, I mean, he's 24. He could be playing against 18, 19-year-olds. So, I mean, at that age, you should be, with that kind of talent, you should be dominating college. But I think Ricky Pearsall is a guy that not many people talked about, obviously, prior to the combine. And then he came in, obviously dominated that, and he had a very good Senior Bowl as well. So just did everything he had to do in the pre-draft process to get his name out there and get himself to move up boards. Chad Reuter has him going in the third round, pick 71 to the Arizona Cardinals, which would be obviously an awesome landing spot considering the lack of talent currently at the receiver position. So it'll be fun. Next, probably Friday, you're gonna see Ricky Pearsall coming off the board, hopefully in the second round.
Yeah, I don't have a ton more to add on Pearsall myself. You know, you did kind of take the words out of my mouth when you talked about him being 24 years old and out there just bodying up, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids who just graduated from high school. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And you definitely want to see guys break out earlier, for sure. But not what we got from Pearsall. I mean, I think he definitely made the most of his combine, like you said. So, like, not too much more to pile on top of him. Draft capital is absolutely massive for him. So we'll leave it at that. And we'll just transition now to the last player we're talking about here on the show. That's Jalen Polk out of the University of Washington. This was the guy playing opposite Rome Odunze, catching passes from Michael Penix last year at Washington. Now, he comes in at 6'1", 203 pounds, a PFF grade of an even 75, good for 143rd among wideouts. He'll be 22 during the 2024 campaign. And really broke out. Another guy broke out in his final season in college. He has 69 passes for 1,159 yards and 9 scores, playing opposite of Odunze last year. And 40 yard dash time wasn't his best attribute. Came in at a 4.52, 1.52 with his 10 yard split. Ran a 37.5 or had a 37.5 inch vertical and a 10.9 broad jump. Now, I think what he brings to the table is just enough size where he can kind of play all over the formation. He can play out wide if he needs to. Line him up in the slot in a pinch as well. I think he does have some jump ball ability too, as we saw him getting some preferential treatment with defenses keying in on Rome, where he could kind of just get that one-on-one on the outside and just go to work. And he definitely did that in spurts for Washington last season. Definitely puts in 100% effort as well in the run blocking game, which I know is going to get a lot of a lot of praise from coaches and maybe earns him some opportunity once he gets selected. Hard to say where he's going to go in the draft, but I think he's a guy who probably going to be somewhere on the round 2 or 3 borderline potentially. Maybe he falls into the middle part of the third round. We'll see where that pans out. Does take a little bit long to kind of get going in the catch and run game. He's definitely not Corley out there where he's catching the rock and making guys miss right away. So that's not really his game or anything like that. So sometimes if you're just banking on catching it and falling down, not giving you much in the yak game, it's not necessarily exactly what you're looking for from the NFL wide receivers nowadays. But he did actually show a little bit as well on the ground. Took one thing he'll definitely have to work on at the next level is kind of transitioning from a place where he's catching the football to a spot where he's running and making plays after the catch. He's definitely not going to be a guy who you just check the ball down to and let him beat 3 or 4 defenders and take the ball to the house. That's just not his game at all either. An NFL comp for him I have was someone like a Robert Woods, who really tested very similarly from an athletic standpoint, and someone who did can also provide an occasional rushing upside. And these are just two players that don't rely on elite athleticism to win, and but they still prove that they could be fantasy contributors. So those are my thoughts on Polk, Ethan. Do you have any anything to add on him as we close this one out?
I don't have much to add on Polk. Just another guy that has a chance to be a second, third round pick. And I mean, just look at all the players we talked about tonight, excluding the top three, right? That's 13 players. I mean, we didn't even talk about guys like DeVonta Walker, Roman Wilson. I mean, there's this receiver class is just so deep. And obviously it looks like a pretty good QB class too. And then obviously the running back, we have obviously some decent prospects and some guys with upside. But I mean, if you have a second round pick, an early third round pick, you're going to get, most likely you're going to get, you're going to have a shot to draft, potentially some of these second, third round receivers. And it's just going to make rookie drafts, really, really fun. So, I mean, I'm very excited for the NFL draft. I'm very excited to get into our rookie drafts. Because I think all our second and third round picks are going to gain a lot of value.
Yeah, I think so too. They usually do it this time of year. Second and third round picks are ones that you hang on to for this reason, where they're going to accrue in value as your draft gets closer. But it was a fun exercise, kind of blowing through all these wide receivers in a quick fashion. We could have stayed here all night and kept talking about some of the other guys in this class. And maybe next week, as we get into some draft heavy content, we'll give you guys some sleepers that we have at the various positions. And there's definitely will be some guys at the wide receiver position who fit that mold for us going forward. But until next time, folks, peace.